Welcome to Horror Makes Us Happy, the podcast where we ask the question, what is it about horror that makes us happy? Your hosts are Steve Becker and myself, Chris Whitman, and you can find out more about us at our website, horrormakesushappy.com. Before we get started, this is the Trigger Warning. It's a horror podcast, and we talk about horror things, so there could be foul language, discussions of violence, and other such dark things. So if that's not your cup of tea, go listen to something boring. But if you like horror and dark stuff, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Yay!
Today we're talking to Joe Lujan, a director, producer, and writer, best known for The Immortal Wars, My Little Nightmare, and Billy. How's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the show.
Before we get into the meat of the interview, you want to let people know what you're currently working on?
So currently right now, I have a few projects that I'm working on right now. Last year, 2024 was the busiest so far. We shot 7 feature films in 2024. Wow. And 2025, we've literally just been post-production. It's nothing but post-production, getting these films done. And they've ranged from psychological thrillers to other intense horrors. I have a new installment in a zombie series that I did a couple years back. It was called Live Escape and Live Survival. We have Live Extinction. That's in the final stages of post-production right now. And I have another film called The Bosque. It's more of a gore film. It's a little bit more intense. It's not straight up horror. And we do have the new Immortal Wars installment in the franchise. It's called Netherworld. We kind of shifted gears from the sci-fi action genre and we moved into the horror, thriller, suspense type of feel for that installment.
We'll get together with you offline and put together a bio page for you and link to whatever it is that you want to link to. So anybody that wants to find out more about that stuff, they can go to horrormakesushappy.com, go to the episodes page, look for Joe's on that list, and then click your name and it'll take you to your bio page. So the general theme of this interview would be less about your body of work and more about yourself as a horror fan. Okay. That said, you know, stuff may come up. In terms of your body of work, but also it's not meant to be a therapy session. So if there's anything that you don't want to answer, you can just say pass and we'll move on. But starting with childhood, what are some of your earliest memories of scary things?
So I actually grew up in El Paso, Texas.
Okay.
And you know, the culture over there, which funny actually is something that we're shifting to with a new project that I'm working on in the winter. My parents had always, you know, the Mexican culture, they would say stuff to scare us, to behave, all that. I guess that's every culture, but there's a specific story when growing up that my parents would always say, they call her La Llorona. And it's like you know, they would always threaten, like, if you don't listen, La Llorona's going to get you and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it was always something terrifying. And it was just like, all they had to say was that name. You know, all they had to say was La Llorona and fear would take over. You know, we would run as kids. We would leave the lights on, stuff like that. So I want to say as a kid, that was always one of the biggest things was my parents would use that one story to scare us. And I guess that's like my first sense of fear.
Come up multiple times on these conversations. Yes.
It kind of started there. And like I said, that's something I'm shifting to with my career. I just signed a deal and I'm actually doing a live action film called La Llorona. Yeah, I don't know. And I'm kind of using my childhood experiences and the fear that I felt then to incorporate it into this film.
Yes.
But as far as that, me personally, I would say that's kind of when that horror sense started. You know, my parents actually didn't allow us to watch films, me and my siblings, horror films. Mm-hmm. It was my grandmother. My grandmother, when she would babysit us, you know, she would say, "Don't tell your mom." And she would show us scary movies. You know, I remember she showed us like Halloween 4 and 5. And I want to say that there was one time where I don't think my mom was paying attention and she was doing laundry or something. And I think it was Texas Chainsaw Massacre Next Generation, I think, was playing. And it didn't faze her to like change the channel or something.
Yeah, because it seems fun at first.
Yeah. So I was kind of surprised why she wouldn't have changed it because she hates horror films. She left it there and I was just there chilling, watching it. And I thought that was terrifying too. I don't think I saw the whole film. It was just pieces. But I want to say as a kid, those were the first two that I remember seeing pieces of horror.
Okay.
You know, then it shifted when I was able to watch a film. The first horror films that I saw were I Know Which Day Last Summer and Scream. That's when my fascination for horror started to like peak. I was like, oh, I like this.
Was that childhood or more teenage years?
I want to say that had to have been like, I was probably 12, 13.
So like right on the
maybe border. Younger, actually. like, I don't know exactly, but it had to be when I was young, because those are the movies I actually remember or I watched completely from beginning to end. You know, before that, it was probably just pieces of horror films.
Well, let's start with Halloween 4 and 5. You mentioned those first. Were there any particular scenes that really stood out to you?
Danielle Harris's scenes. Anytime she was screaming as a little kid, like a little girl, I guess as I was a kid at that time too, it was kind of like, oh, wow, like that little girl's really going through it.
Okay. You can really identify with it then, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I think that was the biggest scenes. I mean, Michael Myers' mask, you know? It's funny, I remember when I watched that, it was storming outside, and we were all in the living room, and my uncle was there, my mom's brother was there, and he had left to the grocery store or something, and they were always playing pranks on us. My family's always playing pranks on each other. So we were watching the film, and then we heard, like, banging, and my parents had, like, a skylight on the ceiling. I don't know how in the world my uncle got up there, but he was, like, banging on it and started, like, screaming, and we all looked up, all me and my siblings, and we were all screaming. He scared the hell out of us. I remember that while we were watching Halloween. And I'm like, bro, like, now thinking about it, I was like, bro, you were on the ceiling while it was raining? Like, that was some hardcore dedication to scare us.
Right.
But it worked.
Yes. Got the 4D experience.
Yeah.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre Next Generation. Any scenes stand out for you?
The chasing scenes with Leatherface and him running and Zellweger. I remember there was a scene where, well, I guess it wasn't. Yeah. She's being chased by him and he's actually sprinting after her. To me, that's always been like scary. I'm like, if you're running with a chainsaw, you got to be fit.
All right. Yeah, that's a great scene, though. I mean, in The Next Generation, in the classic one, it's almost iconic at this point to have the victim running through a forest and Leather's chasing her.
The Jessica Biel one, like that. Yeah. To me, that's my favorite. That's the best one to me, personally.
Same.
Yeah. I'm like, that's a way a remake should be made.
Yeah.
And that was terrifying. And him running, even the camera work with I think it was even the slow motion shot where they were running. And it was just, it was really cool.
What about I Know What You Did Last Summer? Any scenes stand out for you from that one?
You know, I'll tell you guys, I Know What You Did Last Summer was like I like to say every time like I do interviews and stuff, I always say I Know What You Did Last Summer and Scream and Resident Evil are like pivotal moments. Like they're so ingrained in my brain that's what made me choose my path in career and what I love the most. Like, I Know What You Did Last Summer to me was like, I had never seen anything like that. Obviously, I was young, but I had never seen anything like that. But it was more like just not the film itself. It was like, I mean, just like specific scenes. It was everything in a whole. It was the music. It was the performance of the actors. It was the lighting, the cinematography, everything about it. When I watch those movies, like Jennifer Love Hewitt, to me, she's a phenomenal actor. Like her screaming, her crying. A lot of friends of mine laugh at me when I say, like, that's the only actor that has power like that when it comes to me as a director, like, or even a fan. Like, when she cries, I'm crying. If she's laughing, I'm laughing. It's weird. It's fucking weird. But anytime in those films, or that film specifically, when she's screaming, or even when she gets pissed off, I'm like, yeah, you tell them. Like, I get really into it, you know? And I think I Know What You Did Last Summer definitely changed. I know it may sound kind of dumb or weird, but that film kind of changed my life because that's kind of where it all started, the fascination of horror. It was just everything. It wasn't just the gore. It was like the music, the tension, the way it was shot to where she's walking in a silent room and it's like you're kind of like, oh, shit, pick us out. Mm-mm. Like it's everything when it comes to those films, that film. That
immersive.
Kind of, you know, obsessed with those films.
What about Scream? Any particular scene?
Same thing. I feel the same way with Scream. When it comes to Scream, I'll be honest, I think I saw part 3 before I saw 1 and 2. Yeah. I want to say my dad took me to see Scream in theaters, Scream 3. I think same thing. I think it's more when the killer's chasing their victims, that sounds so psycho. People are going to be like, what the hell's wrong with Joe? I think that's what it is. It's that tension, that suspense from those scenes in those films that kind of get me excited. You know, it's shifted throughout the years because now the type of horror that I'm like really like hooked on is more subtle horror, but I think that's
we'll get to that.
Screaming at the summer. Yeah,
you also mentioned Resident Evil. Did you see that as a kid or did that come
I did. So that film, I was in middle school. I want to say I was seventh grade or eighth grade. And funny story. So that me and my sister were my oldest sister, me and her would always play the games, Resident Evil. Even in the middle of the night, my mom would come in like, turn that shit off, like go to bed. It was really, we were addicted to that game. Mm-hmm. So when the film came out, we were like, I want to go. My mom was like, yeah, right. You guys are not going to see that. And my sister had already graduated from high school or was about to graduate from high school, I believe. And I went to school and my sister took me out of school. She lied saying that I had a doctor's appointment that she was going to take me to. And she had friends that worked at the theater and she took me to go see Resident Evil. And I remember watching that and I was like in amazement. I was just like, another pivotal moment in my life where I watched the film, and when those roll credits started, that's when I shifted everything. Before, I wanted to be a veterinarian. That's what I wanted to. I love animals, everything animals. That's what I wanted to do. Oh, that was my dream career. I suppose when I grow up, I want to be a veterinarian. But when I saw that movie specifically, the first Resident Evil, it all changed. After that, I was like, no, I want to make movies. That's what I'm going to do. And cool. I stuck with it since. Yeah.
Again, with this one, was it more of like, you know, the entire immersive experience, or was there particular scenes that stood out to you?
No, I think it was the whole thing as a whole. With that film specifically, it was everything as a whole. Music, the action sequences, the zombies. Okay. I love zombie movies. So it was just like, you know, I don't know, as a whole. When it comes to those films specifically, you know, Scream, I Noticed It Last Summer, Resident Evil, those films as a whole, I think are what kind of got me like, I'm obsessed with horror. This is what I love about horror.
Okay.
Yeah.
Normally we ask whether or not there's anybody else in your family who are fans of horror. It sounds like both your grandmother and your sister.
Yeah. Yeah. My oldest sister, after that, she would be the one to be like, when she's watching us, don't tell mom. We're going to watch this. Don't tell mom. Yeah. My sister and her, my grandma. Yeah.
Yeah. When you're a kid, did you have a favorite Halloween costume?
Halloween costume. I can't think of a... I mean, there's a costume that I would always do because I love that character.
Yeah.
I don't remember how I was a lot younger, but it was the Jackal from 13 Ghosts.
Oh, wow. With the cage over the head.
Yeah. And I remember every year I would make the cage out of a box. I would paint it and I would do the whole costume. I had to have been the Jackal maybe 4 or 5 times. Wow. For Halloween.
If you make a good costume, it's kind of the go-to after that. Like, you know, I can always do that.
Yeah. But then every year the box would get destroyed. Like I would just put it in the garage. So I'm like, okay, Dad, I'm gonna make another one. You know, my dad every year would progress. He would get like, okay, well, this time we're gonna put the hook on the top now. And we would get really into it. But that's the only one I could think of that as a kid, I was always dressing up as the Jackal.
Anything in particular you liked about that character?
That to me, that was just a badass character. He was scary. When I watched that film, like that movie definitely is like in my top 10 like favorite horror films.
Okay.
The Jackal to me was always like, that's a badass character. He's scary.
Yeah.
You know, with the long hair and all that. And like oddly long arms that he had. It was weird. But I think that film, I'm trying to think of all the other ghosts. All the other ones were scary, but to me that one just stood out. It was just scary. Even him running, like, don't run, walk slow. Like, I guess when it's running, it's scarier, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like fast zombies.
Yeah.
How about a least favorite costume?
Least favorite. Oh, I was in high school and I was like a sailor. It was so it was so random. I'm like, fuck it. I'm just gonna
a haunted sailor. Like an undead zombies and just sailor.
Just a sailor. I was like, it's just a sailor. Let's just look good for Halloween. Let's not be scary. So I was like wearing the tight sailor costume. Yeah. Nice. Thinking I'm looking sexy, I was just an idiot. Yeah, I know.
Did you have any really scary dreams or reoccurring nightmares when you were a kid?
I did, actually. Wow, these are some good questions. I've never been asked that. When it comes to like when I was a kid, I would have a dream. That's weird. I'm like remembering it now. I would have a dream that it was like a woman talking to me in the middle of the night. And I would open my eyes. It was complete dark. And I remember me and my brother lived on, we would sleep in bunk beds. And I always had the lower bunk. Mm-hmm. And I would wake up and I could hear her talking. And it was like, she would get closer to me and I would back away from the wall. And then I would wake up. I never knew if that was a dream or that really happened. That's actually kind of strange talking about it now. I don't remember what she would say, but.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember what she would say. I could still hear her voice. Like right now, I could, if I think about it, I know how she sounds, but I remember being terrified to where I was too scared to even scream or say anything. Hmm. It would keep me like very quiet. But then I would never say anything to my parents. I don't know why. Huh. I don't know. That's weird.
Was there
any desire on her?
Oh, yeah. Don't say that. Probably.
Sorry.
You know, he's what? Like, I put that in the script now, actually. I didn't think
he's like, but I went to bed. I did the thing I was supposed to do.
Maybe. My parents had me traumatized. Maybe.
No particular emotional, response or memory in relation to that dream? Like, it didn't trigger a particular emotion?
No. I'm telling you, even thinking about it right now, like, I completely forgot that that would happen. Because it would happen numerous times. It wasn't just the one time. It would happen numerous times.
Wonder if it was just like your mom on the telephone, you know, talking to the neighbor or something. And
maybe she knew we were not really asleep.
Yeah. Was there ever a time in your childhood when you were terrified of something in real life?
In real life?
If not, that's a good thing.
No.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, no. Maybe playing football. My parents always wanted me to play football. I hated football.
No. Can be terrifying at times.
Other than that, no.
Okay. Was there a time in your childhood when you felt exceptionally calm or safe or at bliss?
Oh, yeah. Oh, with all my siblings, when we were always together. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. We would always do cookouts and stuff with my parents. So, yeah, that was always like my safe zone as a kid.
The next two questions are going to be a pair. I'm going to start with the negative so we can end on the positive. Do you remember the first person you hurt?
First person I hurt? Like physically or emotionally?
Either one.
Either or.
Maybe my little brother. He was a little shit. Maybe my little brother. That's the only thing. I'm a very nice person. I don't ever like to see anyone. I don't like to ever see anyone hurt or something. Like, So I would have to say.
Doesn't have to have been intentional.
Oh, for sure. He was probably being annoying and I had to beat his ass. Probably.
Had to.
Classic sibling rivalry there. You have to. It's in the charter.
Yes. So flipping that last question around, do you remember the first person you helped?
Had to have been my mom.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, probably my mom. Like help around the house or help her with something there. Yeah.
Rolling into teen years. Any particular media stand out to you from your teen years?
Teen years? I don't know the exact years when they came out, but like when I say fascination started with film, when I watched those other films, it literally was like, I'm obsessed with horror films. Like I just love watching them. Till this day, I could fall asleep watching a scary movie. So when I was a teenager, I think at that time, my mom was a little bit more like, well, you know, that's what you want to watch. Go for it. Watch it. But I'm not going to watch it. Mm-mm. And like movies at that time, I think like Wrong Turn started coming out, the first one. And I was obsessed. And I remember always watching that movie on repeat. Wrong Turn.
Any particular scene stand out to you?
It goes back to the chasing scenes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It goes back to the chasing when Elijah Dushku's running through the forest and these creepy mutant people are running after. Like, it was like, that's all that I could, that stands out when it comes to these films. And I think it's also the performance of the actors. Like, when they're like yelling and screaming and stuff, I'm like, my ass, if I'm running, I'm going to save all the energy I have. I'm not saying shit. I'm just going to run. So I think stuff like that. Around my teenage years, my family started getting more and more into it as well, to where around Halloween season, we were doing like haunted houses in our garage, in our backyard type stuff.
Okay.
We were all into it. We were all scaring people and... Mm-hmm. We started getting very into the whole horror genre around the season. It was year round for me because I just loved horror films. But,
Halloween is every day.
Yeah. So around my teenagers, that's what it was. It was like haunted houses and decorating the house very scary. And I got really into it. And around that time, too, I started doing short films with my siblings and my cousins. So I would make these little scary movies and then we would have cookouts and I would show my family. We would watch them and then they would tell me like, oh, that was good, but maybe try this or don't do that again. And that's kind of how horror and my career and my art has always collided my entire life.
Okay. But no other media from other creators stand out to you? Just Wrong Turn?
Wrong Turn. I want to say The Descent also came out around that time.
Yeah, it's a classic.
I love
UK that. Or US ending?
Both. Actually, I didn't mind either one. I was like, you know.
I like both. The US ending has a nice, clean wrap up to it, and the UK ending is a little bit more brutal. You're right. They both
are. Yeah, I don't know. And then there was another film that I really liked, the actual franchise. It's called Cold Prey.
Oh,
yeah. Frit Vilt. It's like a foreign film, I think. Yeah, those are good.
Real good film. That whole franchise was good. I love those films.
What did you like about it?
I think it was more like the seclusion. Like they were in that, I think it was a ski lodge or a hotel in the middle of like the snowstorm, and there's like this killer after them. Mm-hmm. You know, that slasher type of vibe. I think part two gave off like Halloween 2 vibes. It was like in a hospital.
Yep.
Really, that one was really cool. Like, I don't know. I think it was just that. And I'm trying to think. There isn't really any much. There is chasing scenes, but nothing that stood out. It was just more. I think the way they shot it, there's some cool, like, epic slow motion scenes where, like, the guy, the killer throws the axe and, like, almost hits the lead.
Okay.
Yeah, there's those. I'm trying to think, because Wrong Turn, The Descent.
Was there a particular scene in The Descent that stood out to you?
The whole them crawling through the cave. No, there's no way. I could not do that.
No, you don't want to go, several hundred feet underground and, you know, shimmy through a tunnel that's only as wide as you?
No, not at all. I'm good. I am totally good. I like my space.
Did you have a favorite costume in your teen years?
In my teen years, I think I still was doing
the Jackal.
Yeah. You know, and then there was one year. No, I lied. I did do the Jackal, but then. One year, I dressed up as the executioner from Resident Evil, and I made the huge
axe. Is that the big one?
Yeah, with the big axe.
Uh-huh.
I made the axe out of like a box from my dad's TV. Like, it was huge. The axe was huge. I actually was dragging it. I don't know how I did it, but I duct taped something to the bottom of my shoes to it made me really tall. It was a really cool costume.
Nice.
Yeah, I want to say that's probably my favorite. And I wore that costume. When the film came out, I remember I dressed up when Resident Evil Afterlife came out, and I went to the theater like that. They didn't let me take the axe in. I remember that. They told me,
let's leave the axe in. I can't take this, stick with an anvil on it into the theater? Why not?
It can have its own seat. It can have its own seat.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's probably my favorite costume. Yeah.
Solid costume.
Least favorite costume?
Least favorite? I think my least favorite was the sailor one, because I think I did that.
Oh, you did say the sailor was later on in teen years, right?
That was in my teen years, yeah.
Ah, okay. Sorry. I thought that was from the childhood section. Let's see. Any really scary dreams or recurring nightmares in your teen years?
No, I didn't. Not dreams.
Okay.
Or nightmares. We did live in a house where a lot of stuff would happen. Mm.
Real life stuff was the next question, so go ahead.
Oh, was it? Okay. We lived in this house when I was in high school. We were living in this house. It was a really cool house. I loved it. Weird things were always happening in that house. Like, I remember, I think it was my brother. My parents had told me that my brother had called. He had come home from school and they were still at work or something. And my brother had called saying that he saw someone in the house and he was waiting outside for my parents to show up. And at that point, I was just like, okay, like nothing had happened to me. But then there was my parents had left town one weekend and me and my best friend had stayed. And I remember my mom was like, no one can come over, no friends, nothing. And I was like, okay. And my best friend came in and we were there watching a movie. I don't remember what we were watching. It had to have been a scary movie. We were watching something and my parents used to have this fan that you can control with a remote in the living room. And the light started turning on and off. The fan would turn on and turn off. And I couldn't find the remote. And for a while, I thought it was my brother-in-law. I thought it was my brother-in-law that was doing it because he would always play pranks on us. So I was like, forget it. Well, then all the power went out of the house. I remember that. And me and my best friend were like, let's go to my room. We'll just watch something in my room. And then we wanted to go to the restroom and both of us were scared. We're like, fuck. We went to the restroom. Well, when we walked out, the house had these long hallways that would cross. It would make like a huge T almost. And the remote to the fan was in the floor in the middle of the hallway. And I was like, oh, fuck. But I still got to go to the restroom. I still have to go to the restroom. And what we did was we were both so scared that we were like, you stand in the doorway. We're going to leave the light on and the door open while you use the restroom. Then we'll swap, you know, so you keep guard. And I remember doing that. And then we ran back to the bedroom. And then we ended up falling asleep, I guess. And then in the middle of the night, I had to go to the restroom again. So I get up. But the moment I got up, something grabbed my ankle from under the bed. Something grabbed my ankle. And it scared me so bad that I kind of like fell into the closet. I remember breaking the closet doors. Like, it's, so it was like those sliding doors. I remember falling into, and I broke the door, and we were both screaming. I called my dad. I was like, you need to come home now. Like, there's someone in the house. And he was like, okay, we're on our way. And I was like, well, you guys are like hundreds of miles away, so you guys aren't going to be here fast. And we stayed awake for the rest of the night. The following day, they showed up around like midday. I think that was the last time my best friend went to my house.
Understandably so.
Yeah. And I want to say that after that, my mom experienced something too. She saw like a face that appeared on the side of the TV in the middle of the night. Like the light of the TV kind of displayed like a face on the side of the house looking at her. Hmm. I want to say my dad talked to the neighbors, and they had said someone had killed themselves in the house or something years before or something like that. And my mom, once she heard it, she was like, we're out. We moved. Like, my parents moved us from the house.
Pulled a poltergeist. Well, their house actually got eaten.
Yeah. So it's I know other stuff happened, you know, and for a while, my parents said that because my aunt had passed away around the time we were living there. So for a while, I remember my parents would say that they always felt like it was my aunt for a while. But then when all the other stuff started happening to
us. Did she have reason to mess with you guys?
Yeah. That's when they started coming and messing with us kids. That's when that whole narrative went away. Like, okay, maybe it's not my sister. Maybe it's something else. Mm. You know, my dad was like, let's just go. Mm.
So flipping that question around, was there ever a time in your teen years when you felt exceptionally calm or safe or at bliss?
Me and my family were really close. So I want to say the same thing. That house specifically had a pool. So we always had pool parties. One party in particular, and I remember that it was my graduation party. It was like my graduation birthday party. Mm. And it was like a huge party. All of my family was there. All of my friends, they had a DJ and everyone was dancing. People were even dancing in the pool, like in the court. Everyone was just happy. We had just lost my aunt. I remember that. We had just lost my aunt.
Talk about a segue.
We had just lost my aunt, and it was the most like,
maybe that's why she was haunting you.
It was the most heartbreaking time of all of our lives because we hadn't really experienced that. Like my aunts and uncles, my grandparents and my cousins, my brothers, all of us. So that when it came to my graduation party, it almost felt like this feels wrong. Like we shouldn't be doing it. But then when we did it, it's like we were all together.
Your aunt's out there like these shitheads. I'm just dying.
She was fun. So I'm pretty sure that's the reason that party was epic as fuck. Like it was really good. So I think that's why it just felt good. It was like all of us just went through something traumatic and then we're all back together and we're just enjoying being together.
Celebrating life.
Yeah, exactly. And it felt like that. I felt most safe and happy at that point, you know? And then once graduated, I'm like, well, fuck, now I'm an adult. It's fucking life.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Rolling into adult years. What are some of the top media that has stood out to you in your adult years?
I'll be honest, I didn't really get into like podcasts or anything like that until like recently. So when it comes to media, it was always just film. So when it comes to movies, there was a movie that my dad has always pushed me to like look into remaking. It was a movie that he's always terrified and scared about. It was called Beyond the Door. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Sounds familiar.
It was like a possession movie. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, well, I'll see it. At that point, it was like when he had first told me, I had already moved out. I was in Vegas at that time and I was living on my own. I remember at that point it was out of print. You couldn't buy it anywhere. This had to have been like 2012 or 11. And I found a place where I bought it so I could watch it. I remember it was like $80 for the DVD. It was really expensive because it was so out of print. I was like, fuck, this movie better be good. And I watched it. And yeah, that movie, throughout the movie, I guess that what's supposed to represent the devil is his breathing. And the sound of the breathing to me is terrifying. It sounds, I don't know how to explain it. It just sounds, it's like a deep breathing, but then like a gargling sound at the same time. I don't know. It sounds
dumb. Raspy.
Yeah, raspy, but it's like really loud, like heavy. You could feel it almost. Mm. that's what stands out to that movie to me, where if I heard that, I'm out. Like if I heard that beating anywhere, I would be out. But that film, it's an old film. It's from the 1970s or something like that. That film terrified me as an adult. Like that was scary. And then obviously the Conjuring films, I started getting into Conjuring and Insidious. Those movies started to really kind of rattle me, honestly, when I first saw them.
Because I mean, they're loosely based off the true story. So, you know, it's that much more impactful.
Yeah. Yeah. Those movies definitely started getting me a little bit more like, I don't like that. It's scary.
Did you see the latest one? The Devil Made Me Do It?
I did see it. I saw, in fact, I saw it in that 4DX theater. So it was a really cool experience. It was a real cool experience. I was already scared of what was on the screen, but then when it's raining in the theater and it's cold with the air that they're blowing in there, it just elevates the fear even more.
Okay, that is cool.
Real cool experience. Real cool experience.
Going back to Beyond the Door for a minute, other than the breathing, was there anything in particular that stood out to you from that film?
There was a scene where the kids are being like tormented by this demon or something, and like the floorboards, there's like light glowing from the floorboards, and the floorboards start to like rattle and shake, and then there's these dolls that are like falling. Like that whole sequence to me is just terrifying, especially seeing that it's kids. Obviously, being an adult, I see all my nieces and nephews where I'm like, I couldn't imagine them going through that. So seeing that in the film definitely got me like, oh shit, that's scary.
What about The Conjuring?
Conjuring, the scene in the first one, the scene where the demon, they're like doing the exorcism in the basement. There's a scene where they throw the holy water on the demon, and like the demon's face kind of like tears through the sheet, and you just see like part of the face.
Okay.
And like the eye, to me, that's terrifying. I was like, oh shit. Like we had already seen some scary stuff throughout the film, but I feel like that was the first time I was like, oh shit. Yeah.
Was the first one the one where you see Malak, I think is his name, his face behind the little boy, like, you know, it's the Darth Maul shot, as people like to call it.
Is it the first?
Because he's got the, you know, the red and black face paint, and he's just there very suddenly. No jump scare, no stinger, that's done Insidious. Noise.
That's
Insidious. That is Insidious.
In Insidious, that's the scene for me that would definitely, like, stands out the most.
Yep.
That's scary. Yeah.
They are in the same universe, so that's my excuse for mixing those two up. Scary.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any other media that scared me. I watch so many films, and like I said, I collect. So as I've gotten older, before I would just go and buy movies like, oh, that's cool, it looks scary, and I probably wouldn't watch it, or I'd probably just add to the collection. But as I've gotten older, I'm like, and I'm spending my money on it, my hard-working money, I'm going to watch it regardless if it's good or not.
It's an investment.
It's an investment, exactly. So I'm constantly watching movies. There's a movie that I watched called, oh bro, what is it? You were about to just say it. It's a movie to make, it's meant to be like a documentary of a guy who killed, like went around a town killing people, eating them.
Okay, we're in cannibalism territory.
What is it called? It is called, what?
If you can give more information about it, Chris might know it.
Yeah, they're talking about it, and they're telling the story because someone was taking photos of what he was doing, or like the aftermath, and they're like black and white photos, and they're kind of going through the map of the town, and like these photos were taken here.
Oh, okay. Savage Land.
There you go.
Yes. I've watched it like 5 times now.
It's a great film. So that is a great film. I thought that was so, like, fuck, how did I not think of that?
You mentioned El Paso earlier, and that was the first thing that popped in my mind. Although I don't think it happened.
I think it was like in New Mexico or something like that. Right close to something like that.
Yeah.
What'd you like about it?
I think it was the photos and the music that they used. The photos looked real. Obviously, it's not a real film, but the photos made it feel real. So when they would just literally just slap the photo and like do a pan in with like the dark, sinister music, you feel unease watching. You're like, this is crazy. This feels real. It almost feels like you shouldn't be watching it.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that made it scary.
Okay. Wanted to go back to the Conjuring for a minute. You mentioned this shot of the eye through the sheet. Any, you know, particular emotion to jump out to you from that one?
Same thing. Unease. I think when you watch that, I think a lot of it also comes into like growing up. And even till this day, like my mom will be like, don't do that. Like, don't make a movie about that. You shouldn't be talking about that. You shouldn't be saying that. Like, you're messing with bad stuff. Like, I think it's that. It's almost like when you watch, when I watch that and I see certain scenes like that, or nowadays even content, like even like if I see a video on TikTok or something where I watch it, I get that like unease feeling, like maybe I shouldn't have seen that. You know, like maybe I shouldn't see that. I should probably change it or something. I think as I've gotten older, it's definitely, like I said, I get scared very easily, but it's gotten to the point where people are going to laugh, or you guys probably laugh on this. But if I get scared, I put on my favorite cartoon, which is The Lion King, and I'll watch The Lion King, and it like brings me down again. Cleanser. Like,
yeah,
I'm good.
It's a good palate cleanser. Yeah.
I think that's what it is when it comes to watching that films where there's certain scenes where you feel like you shouldn't be watching it. There's just one film that I've been wanting to watch. I think it was called like The Deadliest Film.
Oh, Antrim?
Yeah. I always see it. And I'm like,
same here.
Should I watch it or
not? I know, right? Because it's advertised as being haunted. Like the film itself is haunted. If you watch it, you'll be cursed too. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure that's all hype and promotion, but a little tiny piece of me is like, maybe.
And that's literally why I haven't watched it. It's still on my watch.
Same.
I'm like, I'll wait. Maybe. One day I feel brave enough, maybe I'll start it.
Like that day that you've, the day that in the same day you've broken a mirror, Black Cat has crossed your path, like five different bad luck things have already happened. Like, okay, today I'll watch this.
Exactly. You're like, I'm already fucked. No matter what, let's do
it. Or that'd be the worst day too.
Yeah.
Have you had any really scary dreams or reoccurring nightmares as an adult?
Not a recurring one. No, I have one that I did have when I started living on my own.
Yeah.
And it was like I could see it happen. I was like, I was asleep facing up and like, I saw someone stabbing me and I felt like the pressure. Mm-hmm. I could see the person, but their face was blacked out, but it was almost like I was stepping away, watching it happen. Mm-hmm. And then I woke up from that.
Crazy.
Really weird. Really, really weird. I must have watched the slasher film before I went to bed or something, but it definitely stands out to me. But I really don't, I want to knock on wood because I don't like that, but I really don't get nightmares. It's very, very rare. Okay. And if the nightmares happen, it's probably a nightmare about like my career or something.
it's usually the common thing with nightmares in adulthood is just like stress stuff, work stuff.
Yeah.
Anything in real life terrify you as an adult?
Yeah, actually. I was already living on my own. I was living in an apartment in Vegas. It was like on the first floor, and across the way, my balcony would face another balcony, and it was some old lady with her dog. And there was this, like, her dog was always annoying. Every morning, it would bark and bark and bark. Well, one day, I just stopped hearing barking. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. Well, I mean, I don't know how long it had been before the barking had stopped, but when I realized it, I was like, oh shit, the dog's not barking. And then I was filming, so I went on set, and I didn't get home till late that night. And I had to walk by her apartment to get to mine. And when I walked past it, there was caution tape on her door. And it was like a paper that had said something like the biohazard something. Or it was something to where I was like, oh, like, I wonder if she passed away. I wonder if the lady had passed away. So I was told that, yeah, she did pass away in the apartment. And I was like, oh, that's so sad. Whatever. So I was like, okay, you know, days passed by and all that. Well, it was another day I was on set. I had to come home late. I've completely just, my mind's already like, I want to go to bed. And I'm walking past her apartment and I walk by the balcony. And I'm not lying. People may not believe me, but she was standing on the balcony. She was standing in the balcony. I could see her in the corner of my eye. She was holding the rails and I could see that her head was following me, like she was watching me. And I was like, I'm not even going to turn to look. I'm going to go straight to my door. And I was like, I opened the door and it's almost that moment, like it felt like a film where you're like, that it's taking forever to open this damn door, like open the door. It was like, so I closed it and I went out and I went back to like the window that faces that balcony. And I looked out and I didn't see anything, but I was like, oh, I know she was there. Well, after that, things started happening in there at the apartment. Like I would go to wash my clothes and I'm sitting there at the laundromat and she walked in with her walker. I remember that. I even looked at her. I didn't say anything. I kind of played it cool. Like, I'm not scared, but I was terrified. I was like a little baby inside. I was crying. And then there was a time where I came home and I thought I was robbed because my front door was completely wide open and my porch balcony area doors were completely wide open as well, but nothing was gone. And what made me move out of that apartment was I was working. I was doing some editing and there were some kids playing outside. And they kept on hitting the wall with a ball, a basketball, I guess, or whatever. And they hit the window to my bedroom. And I was like, I got pissed. And I kind of walked into the bedroom to like to, I don't know what I was going to do. I don't know if I was going to yell at them or something, but I don't know what I was going to do. But I walked towards the window and I opened the curtains and the kids kind of like run off. And that's when it hit me where right before I opened the curtains, there was someone standing. I could see the shape of someone behind the curtains. Mm-hmm. I could see the feet. And I was like, okay, I'm out. And I literally broke my lease. I remember I broke my lease and I moved out because things just felt like they were getting worse there at that apartment.
Hmm. And what is your reason for ending your lease here? Is there, your shit's haunted. I'm out. Bye.
I'm like, you know that old lady across the way? She's haunting me. No, I think I made up a lie. I was like, no.
Oh, yeah, you make up a lie in that situation. You don't tell them because it's haunted.
No, like, then I'm going to be, yeah, no.
What, so you can screw the next day? Or thanks.
Yeah, no.
Not my problem anymore.
Yeah. No, I was just like, I'm done. I can't. And then my parents are like, well, it's because it's the things you're doing. It's the type of movies you're making. And I'm like, no.
Of course. Yes. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
It's not what it is. The lady is haunting me for some reason.
Flipping that last question around, was there ever a time in your adult years when you felt exceptionally calm or safe or at bliss?
I want to say I always go back to my family. Anytime my family comes into town, mm-hmm. I feel at ease. I guess it's also because the line of business I'm in, it's always on the go. It's nonstop. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm always traveling or I'm always on set. I'm always around a lot of people. So it definitely feels like there's so much going on that to where when my family comes, even my family says, we're not doing shit. We just want to be here with you. Like, let's just be in your house and we'll just be here and we just be in the moment. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the times where I feel most calm and safe and I can breathe, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I guess as you get older, things shift. Before, I used to be watching scary movies is where I feel safe. And, you know, now, yeah, it's different. Mm.
Do you remember the last person you hurt?
The last person I hurt? No, I can't think of. Okay. I mean, not of me knowing that I hurt them.
Right. That's fine. Do you remember the last person you helped?
My niece. Yeah. We went to New York. I was in New York a couple weeks ago. We went out there and I was with her I took her like graduation photos and we did a tour at NYU. So yeah, so I feel like that'd be the last person. My goddaughter, yeah.
Excuse me. So these next two questions, they're going to be over your entire life now and not just horror, but any genre.
Okay.
What movie would you say you've watched more times than any other?
Oh, Resident Evil.
Okay.
Yeah, that movie. That movie, I guess that franchise, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. I could be feeling, I'll get very depressed or I'll get very insecure with my work. Or there's many times where I sit here like, do I want to keep on doing this? You know, I start doubting my choice in career or I'm ready to quit and I'm done. I kind of watch that and it kind of reminds me, this is why you chose it. Yeah.
Okay.
The first Resident Evil more than anything. Yeah. But the franchise, I could watch that all the time.
Would you consider that to be your favorite movie or would you pick something else?
No. Yeah. Resident Evil would probably be my number one favorite movie. Yeah. It's right there with I Know It's the Last Supper.
Okay.
Those two are like right next to each other.
Do you see any common threads about what kind of horror you like? Cannibalism, occult, metaphysical, supernatural, psychological?
I think I'm more into supernatural. When it comes to the real stuff, mm-hmm. like The Strangers type stuff like that. Oh no, that scares me. Mm. Like I think with stuff like really can happen. I mean, although I know demons and stuff that can happen, but I'm saying more like, I guess when I'm living on your own, like if someone's gonna try to break into me, that's fucking terrifying.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say supernatural is what I love the most to watch. I just love ghost stories, stuff like that. But real stuff, like Hills Have Eyes type shit, and there's people out in the middle trying to kill you, stuff like that, to real stuff to me scares me.
Mm. All right. Well, this would be the spot where we talk about any common themes that have cropped up during the earlier parts of the call and then maybe talk about these themes as a whole and how, you know, they intersect with horror. For your conversation, basically the one thing that everything seems to fall under is emotional connection. You know, when we talk about all the, you know, happy moments in your life, they're all related to family. Mm-hmm. Even the things of, you know, first and last people you hurt and helped had to do with family. The you know, getting scared very easily and being afraid of the supernatural, you know, there's some potential emotional connection or fear of connection there. The chase scenes, came up at like four or five different places in the calls. You know, those are all evocative. You know, you identified with the emotion, emotional content being, you know, displayed there. Even talking about unease in relation to the supernatural stuff, it's all, you know, the emotional connection.
I agree. I think it's,
Or identification with emotion.
I think that's, I love this because you're like, it does feel like I'm like, I don't have to go to my therapist today. This
week. Couch not included.
Yeah. So, natural follow-up question to that would be, why is that important to you?
As far as what exactly?
Well, actually, let me back up a step first and ask, do you think that that is an accurate summary of what you get out of horror? Or do you think that there is something else or maybe something in addition to this that we didn't cover?
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's accurate. I don't really talk about this and stuff because it's just, I know a lot of people feel certain ways and stuff, but I'm very religious. I'm a very religious person. Mm-hmm. So it's like when it comes to scary stuff or if something happens, obviously my mind goes to like, oh, I'm sorry. Like maybe I shouldn't have done that or maybe I shouldn't have said that. Mm-hmm. When it's an emotional connection like that, I guess, yeah, it is. When you watch something, it's entertainment, right? When we're watching mm-hmm. these films, entertainment, it says it's based on a true story. Okay. So nowadays you could slap that on a project and it has nothing to do with anything that's happened. You know what I mean? It's a marketing thing now. Yeah. But there are times where I do watch something and I'm like, okay, you know, I shouldn't probably have watched that. And, you know, at the end of the night when I'm like getting ready for bed and stuff, I do pray and I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for stop watching that again. Yeah. You know, like tomorrow's a new day. I promise I won't do that again.
Right. No, you're right. It's like a tagline. You see it. It seems to be like a trend in horror movie trailers now. I forgot which one did it first, but I want to say it was The Witch. But the comment is, you know, it feels like we're watching something that we're not supposed to be watching. And you do get that feeling from a lot of horror movies.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a spiritual person.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, I don't believe that it's wrong. I don't know. The way I see it is like if you are very religious and you believe in God and all that, then you have to believe there's a dark side. You have to believe that there's the devil, all that. My mind always goes to that. So it's like even when I make these films, when I make the films that I do, it's like my mom's constantly like, don't do that. Don't say that. And I'm like, no, like people need to know. Don't be opening the damn box if it says there's a don't open it.
Like, right.
So like, you open it.
Yeah. I'll open it so people won't do it.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a public service.
Exactly. I'm like, I don't know. That's kind of how I go with my life. You know, the way I see it is like, as long as I'm not harming anybody, I'm not harming myself. Like I'm fine. You know, that's kind of how I see it. I
think it's interesting because at the same time, you're also afraid that you are hurting yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, that's probably why I'm always scared too. Yeah, I'll be downstairs watching a movie and I hear something upstairs and I'm like, it's the house settling. It's the house settling. My dad's like, idiot, this house is old. It's not settling. Yeah.
It's the weather. It's the heat.
Yeah.
It's the weather. It's the dog.
The house expanded. Yeah, exactly.
Actually, it's funny you say that. There is some truth to that. My grandmother's house in Florida, mm-hmm. you could tell at the end of the day, particularly at the end of the day after the sun had set, because in Florida, you know, it is really hot and that house did get really hot. And I'm sure a lot of the old wood in the house had been expanding. And then towards the end of the night when the sun had gone down, you could hear it would creak and pop as the wood was settling back.
Oh, really? Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. That's cool. That's interesting. Wow.
Yeah. It's cool and interesting, but also, God damn it, stop it.
Yeah.
Because you're like there in the middle of the night and you just hear creak, pop, pop. What? Where? Which one was it this time?
It's not even a pop. It was more of a, I don't want to say a bang because that makes it sound louder than you might think. But I mean, it was.
I always hear stuff, but I always like ignore it. Like I always, like footsteps, like my living room is right under my bedroom, my master bedroom. Mm-hmm. And I constantly feel like I'm hearing footsteps, but then my cat will always be doing the zoomies like at a certain time of the night.
Okay. Well, yeah, if you have a cat, then there's no, no silence throughout the night.
That explains all the sounds. It's yes. My cat.
Yes. Now if your cat goes nuts.
There's a movie, Cat Possession.
That's So a natural follow-up question here would be, why is this stuff important to you? It sounded like the, you know, being devout plays into this somewhat.
Yeah.
But also entertainment.
For sure, entertainment. I mean, it's, I just, when I see, when it comes to projects and films and stuff, it's just, it's all entertainment. It's what entertained me when I was a kid growing up. That's why I do it, is to entertain audiences, is to, you know, just tell a story, pull you away from the BS of life for that 2 hours and forget that and just come to this and just enjoy it. That's kind of, you know, why it all comes about, you know. It's all the aftermath stuff after then that definitely starts to mess with you a little.
So the follow-up question to that is, but why horror? Because, for example, if you're looking for entertainment and looking for, say, cautionary tales, you know, you could explore those in other genres. Why horror?
I mean, true. But I always pull something from, honestly, it's even now from, like, I follow a lot of accounts on TikTok of, like, scary stories or, like, different things, like people camping in the forest and they're being stalked by something. And I sit there, I was like, well, why are you in the forest by yourself like that? Like, why go by yourself out there? So I always pull something, I guess, a quote unquote lesson from everything that I watch, to where it's kind of like, why? Why did you do that? I know it's entertainment, but then me as a viewer, I see that and I'm like, well, now I know. If someone's knocking on the door in the middle of the night, asking for someone, you're not going to open the door. Like, you just, no, they don't live here. Like, you're in the wrong house.
And leave. Don't worry.
You know?
True, but the counter argument there is that you could have that same lesson from, say, like a rom-com or, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Sci-fi, action.
Well, that too, but I was thinking, what's the Hallmark movie? Hallmark Channel.
Oh, gotcha. I mean, yeah, but in a Hallmark movie, you're not going to see the lead actor get possessed and almost dragged to hell. And
so what's the value of that?
You know, I don't know. It's just fascinating. To me, the horror genre is fascinating because horror is so broad. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but to me, it's so broad. It's like horror to me is completely different from horror to you guys, to the person next to me. You know, someone might be terrified of the creepy doll. To me, I think it's fucking cute. I want to add that to my collection. But that huge ass cockroach in the corner of the room is fucking terrifying. You know what I mean? It's horror and fear is so, it varies with person to person. To me, that's what makes it fun. Like when I watch a film that I've seen already with a group of people, I love to watch their reactions. I love watching them instead of watching the film because I like to see how they're going to react. You know, it's just it's a thrill to see that. It's like, oh, like they jumped in the part I jumped, or they jumped at that. Like I didn't even jump. That wasn't scary.
One of the best quotes that we've gotten on the podcast was, I think it was from Ariel Shulman from Paranormal Activity 3 or 4. And he said, good horror ruins one specific thing for one specific person forever.
Exactly. It's true. It's true. It really is. Really is. That is a true statement because it's, I don't know. Like I love, like I said, like those dolls that I bought the other day. Like, in fact, I bought the, what is that doll called? The clown from Poltergeist.
Oh.
So I bought that and I have it sitting like in like the library right now.
Well, as long as you have a jacket, you can throw on over it. You know, it's fine.
But see, to me, I'm like, oh, this thing's cute. It's cool. Like I'm over here. Like I want to get like a stand so I can stand him up. And my mom is like, even my dad was like, are you fucking crazy? Like,
does it have extendable arms?
Yeah.
He has these long arms and legs. And my dad's like, dude, like put that shit away. Like you, and I'm like, no, dude, that's cool. Like,
yeah, it's a collectible.
Yeah. Yeah. But it, going back to what you just said of that quote, it's like, he goes, that thing is terrifying. And when I bought it, I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch Poltergeist. So I was in the office. I had it playing in the background. I was watching it. And I'm like, to me, this movie's not even scary at all. Like, I don't think it's scary at all. But to my dad, he goes, no, I can't watch that movie. That movie's terrifying. Yeah. I'm like, so the clown messed it up for you? Or what messed it up? And he said, yeah, he goes, it's the clown. The clown's fucking terrifying. I go, but the clown doesn't even really do anything. It's just sitting there.
Oh, it does. And then
when I got to that scene, later in the movie, shit. Yeah, no, the clown actually.
Oops.
Okay, Dad, I get it.
Yeah. Now I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where I thought this was going to go when I asked, you know, why horror, is I thought you were going to bring the supernatural back up, because you really can't talk about that as a topic in pretty much any other genre other than, what's the word I'm looking for? Basically like religious, like devout media that is not meant to be horror, but like actually meant to be taken seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Any other genre where you're bringing the supernatural into it, you know, you either take it seriously or it's horror.
It's going to come out horror or funny, I guess, because there's some comedies that actually touch with the supernatural now. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a few comedy
satire.
But yeah, I mean, when it comes to supernatural, I think it's just, that really is, like you said, that really, you could only tell a story of supernatural majority of the time, I should say, in the horror genre, supernatural. Because supernatural is also just, it's not just ghosts. So you can think about, like, supernatural could also be demons or, like, what is that movie? Is it a scary movie? Stigmata.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To me, that's Stigmata good example is of supernatural. Scary. That, to me, that was a scary movie. There's some pretty scary scenes in that movie that even make me still feel uncomfortable. That, but then you sit there and you're like, but then other people would be like, well, how are you scared? Like, it's the cross. Like, that's Jesus. Like, that's different things. I'm like, no, that's scary. You know, you can go both ways with it, specifically with that film. But Supernatural as a whole, yeah, it definitely can. Obviously, I'm speaking me personally. Supernatural to me just is scary because it's no matter what. Yeah, an object can be supernatural. A haunted doll, a box, anything can instill fear.
It's the implication.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll tell you right now, the Exorcist, till this day, I can't sit down and watch that movie. I don't know why. I can't watch it. I can't. It makes me feel so uncomfortable. But then I could watch The Conjuring.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the quality of, I don't want to, you know, shit on The Conjuring, that the whole franchise is good, but it's the quality of the movie and the efficacy of the movie. Like Exorcist to this day is still very effective.
Yeah. That movie,
you know, having not seen the entire franchise, let me ask, since you guys probably know it better than I do, are you okay with The Conjuring because it, and again, I don't know that what I'm about to say is correct, but is it because it's, you know, not as religious? You know, is it not religious?
No, The Conjuring is pretty religious. Yeah. Like even some of the more recent ones, they go through the full Our Father rite. Like slight religious it. It's very definitely.
Oh yeah, especially when it goes into like the nun films, because all those are connected. Mm-hmm. So when it goes to the nun, it is very religious, and there's like burning crosses.
Let me try to rephrase that. So having references to religion in it is not necessarily the same as, you know, for example, you brought up The Exorcist. Like I'm having a really hard time finding the right words to say this, but basically like the difference between being religious and referencing religion.
You mean understand? Like the like legitimacy or accuracy of it?
Maybe. Again, this is just a question. I'm asking if he feels like that is a true statement about The Conjuring versus, say, The Exorcist.
I don't know. I think, like I'll say, I think when it comes to The Exorcist, for me, it's the possession part that makes you feel uncomfortable. It's the changing in the voice, the deep demonic voice. We do get that in The Conjuring films and the Annabelle films. Like there's specific scenes that I could say make me feel what I feel when I watch The Exorcist, when I'm watching The Conjuring. Like in Annabelle, when you actually see the demon in the stairwell, to me, that is like, that's terrifying. I think The Nun 2, they show like you actually see the devil, the representation of what the devil looks like. I remember watching that film where I got chills and I was like, okay, like this is the first time I'm seeing. I mean, yeah, you see the devil here, like with costumes or whatnot, but the way they interpreted it in The Nun 2, where it was like, it's an actual like goat man type thing. Mm-hmm. It made me feel what I feel when I watch The Exorcist. The Exorcist is as a whole makes me feel uncomfortable. In the movies in The Conjuring, it's those specific scenes that make me feel that uncomfortable feeling, if that makes sense.
Is it approaching what you might describe as quote-unquote realism?
Yeah. It's like my mind almost feels like, I never thought that's how the devil would look, but if that's the way he looks, that is fucking terrifying. You know, like your mind processes it a different way. I could watch The Nun and I'm like, The Nun, I don't think The Nun is scary. I mean, she's scary looking, yes, but it didn't scare me. Like when I saw the goat devil thing where I was like, oh, fuck, that's scary.
Okay. So yeah. Maybe it's approaching approaching your concept of reality or...
Yeah. I don't know. Sorry, I ramble a lot. I apologize, guys. I just kind of... My mind...
It's okay.
Yeah.
Happens on the show all the time.
Cool. Well, I think that's a pretty good summary for, you know, what you get out of horror and why horror. I guess really the only other question is if there's anything that you feel we didn't touch on, or like maybe you thought of something earlier in the conversation and then the conversation took a left turn, you didn't get a chance to say it.
No. Well, I'm curious. What? I'm pretty sure you guys don't want to say or talk about this, but what to you guys? What is the scariest media you guys have seen? I'm curious.
So the quick answer to that is that we interviewed each other to start this whole process and kind of get a feel for the questions and how we wanted to do this before we started interviewing anybody else. And Patreon subscribers can get that if they come to our Patreon and subscribe. The nutshell of it, I don't know. Specifically, he was asking about media.
Yeah.
Like, is there a movie or is there a book? Or, I mean, nowadays, like I said, there's TikTok stuff that people now are really like into. So
for me, I would say, you know, I've watched a shit ton of horror at this point. And, you know, you get so far into it that it ultimately becomes not so much what scares me anymore, but what unnerves me as far as like the gore. And that even that is like a, I don't know, Chase the Dragon kind of scenario where, you know, it's not as effective anymore. But I will say Session 9 every time. Still scares me.
Oh, I've never seen that.
It's good. It's, I guess, for a brief synopsis, some hazmat guys have to clean up an old asylum, and the asylum may be haunted, and bad things happen.
Okay.
Just the performance and the tone of it, though, it's still scary. It's still effective to this day.
I'll have to check it out.
For me, we kind of joke here that Chris is the horror fan, I'm the psych guy, and I don't really consider myself to be a horror fan to the same terms that you guys kind of do. So what I get out of horror is maybe slightly different. For me, cosmic horror is interesting to me.
Okay.
Not necessarily scary, but of interest. It's funny you brought up Poltergeist. My dad took me to see Poltergeist when it came out in the theater.
Oh, wow.
And I must have been, I don't know, third grade maybe.
Oh, wow. It's a good age, see it. Good age.
No, it wasn't.
Sarcasm.
Body horror is probably the thing that I like the least, and there are a couple scenes in that movie that were not pleasant.
Gotcha.
For me.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think because I see it, going back to what we were talking earlier, it's like everyone's form of fear is different, and I think that intrigues me the most of the horror genre.
And that's part of what we're doing with this podcast is we figure, you know, not everybody's going to fall into the same bucket, but how many buckets are there? What are the buckets? Which ones are most common, least common? And then, you know, researching these conversations that we're having, can we, you know, does researching this kind of thing teach us anything about the horror community as a whole?
Yeah.
And it has already started to uncover some things. We recently celebrated our 5th anniversary. I am starting to work on putting together a book on some of the stuff that we have, or some of the trends that we're seeing based on the people that we've talked to. Yeah.
That is so cool.
Hopefully I will definitely be continuing to work on that. Hopefully we can get it out soon. It's a lot of work because I had to go back through and listen to every episode multiple times. To collate the information. And now I have collated the information and now I'm trying to write it in a way that is like cohesive and understandable in the ways that I'm seeing the pieces fall, you know, and come together. Okay. And I'm still in the process of doing that. And then once I've finished writing, of course, then there's the editing and all that. But right now, I'm just in the writing process and trying to fit all the pieces together.
So, that's cool. That is really cool. Yeah. I know how that goes. Like when I'm writing my scripts, I write in, I don't know if you guys remember, it's like a web. It's like you write like in clockwise little bubbles that link to each other.
Oh, I thought you were going to do like the Pepe Silva meme.
Kind of, yeah.
I write in the type of web. That's kind of how I write all my scripts. I start off that way. But it's all just ideas first. And, the characters are going to come in here, this place, and this place. So when it comes to writing, then when I get into like the script software and actually putting it together, that's where it starts to take time. Yep. Then you're like, shit,
I forgot. How do I make these pieces fit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a way that makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then even how I've even done the whole, like, this whole cinematic universe that I've done. It's like, well, okay, well, the character can't come in here because she's dead already in this film.
Yep. Yep. So, can relate.
Yeah.
A story that's like a kind of a found family Texas Chainsaw style. And I've been doing a webcomic series that's each an origin story for each member of the family. Oh, and yeah, okay. You have to worry about timelines. You have to worry about when this person interacted with them.
Yeah.
It's also a period piece. So was this thing even around in the 50s? Like, yeah. Yeah, it's the Pepe Silvia spiderweb.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I'll admit the last two films that I did, I originally were supposed to be part of the timeline, but there were conflicting moments in time where I was like, that actually can't work. There's no way this will fit in this story. So
I hate that oh shit moment where you try and make it work. You're like, no, I can't.
Yeah. And I couldn't. And it resulted into we casted one of the actors that were in one of the films in the universe. So it worked. Mm-hmm. It kind of worked out. You know, it's like its own film, because that's another thing. When we're casting, we can't cast the same actor that was in this film because now they're in the same universe. We have to get a whole different actor now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's fun. It's fun doing it that way, but it can get very challenging trying to piece the stories together, and making it make sense is fun and challenging at the same time.
Yeah. Well, before we hit the closing here, you want to remind everybody what you're currently working on?
Yeah, so I am working on the next installment in the Immortal Wars franchise. For those who don't know, the Immortal Wars is a sci-fi action now going into like the horror genre, based off of comic books that I have called The Vanquishers that are out right now. Think of the mix of Mortal Kombat meets Hunger Games type of stuff. That's kind of what we went with. But with the last film or two, we've kind of shifted into like alien Romulus vibe type stuff. Working on that, and that should be coming out early next year. I also have another film called The Gray Ones that should be out this year. That is a film on alien abduction that I wrote with my older sister, based off of experiences that she went through when she was a kid. And I have another film called The Bosque coming out that is starring Taylor Kilgore. I'm trying to think. We have so many projects. I'm trying to think of the most recent ones that are going to be coming out soon, because there's quite a few that come out next year. Oh, and Live Extinction, which is the third and final installment in a zombie series that I started called Live Escape, which was a found footage zombie film. It's all in the perspective of the body cam of the cops. Yeah, it's kind of cool. And Billy is the new film that's coming out, I believe, in December. It's about a cursed doll that makes you want to do the worst things to yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for the last project, I want to say My Little Nightmare, which is out right now. My Little Nightmare is a supernatural film. It was actually the first script that I wrote in college over 10 years ago. It finally got its release, and it's a pretty scary tale. I like to say it's like a I Know What You Did Last Summer meets The Conjuring style type film.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anybody who wants to find out more about any of those things, or you know, if you want to link to them, like I said, we'll get together with you offline, put together a bio page for you. Anybody listening to this can come to horrormakesushappy.com, go to the episodes page, scroll down to Joe, find him on there, click that link, and that'll take you to his bio page. And on that page, we'll have links to whatever it is that he wants us to link to. And so they can catch up with you that way. So again, thank you for your time. Thank you to anybody out there listening. Like, share, subscribe, tell a friend.